The world is in a dilemma tonight. And what we need, really seriously what we need, I've been preaching now, I'll be married January 1st for 50 years. And I've been preaching 49 and a half of those years. And what we need tonight primarily is the mind of God. You ask people, what's on your mind? Well, tonight, believers, we need the mind of God. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ. So tonight, your son had told me I get $100 for every alliterated point in my message. I already had 6 points, and while I was seated there, I added 10 more. So relax. I don't care what time it is. I'm staying here until the cows come home. I'm leaving the country, and I need a big paycheck. So take off your shoes, smile, brush your teeth, do whatever you got to do. But I'm staying here, so you do what you'd like. Amen. But we need the mind of God. And you know, the Bible is complex in its prophecy sometimes, and there are surely things in the Word of God we'll never totally understand, never know all the facts about it. But for the most part, the Bible is a simple book. And finding the mind of God is quite a simple thing. What is the mind of God tonight? And please, in all seriousness, we need the mind of God. And what is the mind of God? Well, first of all, we can notice the mind of God in creation. Remember that day when you read in the Bible in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? Creation. He created the world. We don't need to elaborate on that. We believe in a literal 7 days, 24-hour days. We believe that God, I don't know that he had to speak. In just his mind, he created all of the universes, the galaxies, the stars, the planets. I don't know how the earth got separated and this place became here and this island was here. When I was in high school, I was not saved. And to be honest, high school was just fun for me. The things I liked were recess, sports, and dinner. I never really was interested in why the geographical errors, but tonight it's a fact. God created the world. My, just in an instant, in his mind, he hung those hundreds of millions of stars and galaxies in the sky. And then, after he created the world, not only in this noticing creation, and why the mind of God is missions. The mind of God is soul winning. And that should be our mind. When we go into the restaurant, into our office, when we go to visit our mothers and fathers who don't know Christ, the mind of God should be, I need to try to win those people to Jesus Christ. Where would we be in this hour in which we live if only that would be our mind? What if we would have taken the gospel to these places where the rebels are and the people that hate us and want to kill us? Where would we be if perhaps we'd have shared the gospel with those we work with and pass by? What if we would have had the mind of God? Now, while we're still breathing, I think we still have that opportunity. And so not only we should notice creation of the world, but then creation of mankind. We should stop for a moment. We should settle this in our minds. That God took some dirt, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Tonight, if you're within the sound of my voice, you are a living soul. The real you, the feelings, the emotions, the intellect, you are going to live forever somewhere. And the Bible makes it quite simple that somewhere will either be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, or you'll burn in a devil's hell forever without him. So now we have a world, a creation of the world. We have a creation of man, a living soul tonight. If death were just the end, that would be a simple thing for man, but it's not the end. If you would have a doubt about that tonight, boy, you should come quickly to Christ. Come to the Savior and trust him and believe what he did for you. And believe you're a sinner and believe you're separated from God and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So now we see creation. Well, what's that have to do with the mind of God? What's that have to do with missions? Well, first of all, he created a world, then he created mankind. Number two, we should notice that's $200, by the way. Not that I'm keeping track, but we should notice this in procreation. We have this world, we have man now, and the Lord told Adam and Eve, you go out there and replenish the earth. There are people in China now, and there's people in the Philippines, and there's people in Spain. There's people in all parts of the world because that was God's plan. And we know what happened at the Tower of Babel, and time would not allow, but different languages got separated due to the rebellion and disobedience of man. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that moves upon the earth. And I have to implant this. I have to implant this. The Lord's will for mankind was not to catch and release, catch, fillet, and eat. Amen. Have dominion over those silly fish. They were meant to eat. They were meant to be fried. They were meant to be broiled. They were meant to be in a sandwich and eaten by every man on the face of the earth. For the rest of you, go ahead, do without. Amen. My gracious, we have more respect for an owl and a fish than we do unborn babies. Procreation. The Lord now, we got a world, we got this creation, we got this man. Now go out there and fill up the earth. And by the way, we have been obedient to that. How many billion people in China? Is that billions? Billions. Wow. And so procreation, creation. Then thirdly, the sad part of this story, we should notice that God's mind is missions because of separation. There in the garden, man only had one thing he needed to do, is stay away from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is why environmental controls won't change mankind. All the education in the world will never change mankind. Can you imagine how brilliant Adam must have been to name every species? And he hadn't been to school. He did that without education. How brilliant he must have been to name all of those species and animals of the world. But you know the story, and we don't need to dwell on this long, but we should understand it. Now we have a world, a creation of a world. We have a creation of mankind. We have the challenge by God, go out there and replenish the earth. But now we have a big problem in the Garden of Eden. And the basic word, not really theologically, but doctrine is that we were disobedient to God. And as a result, man who walked together in fellowship now is separated by sin. All those men out there in that creation, that world, all those people that God breathed into their nostrils, the breath of life, and men and women became living souls. Those living souls are separated from God. My, how we need to dwell on that. How we need to go to sleep praying for those who don't know Christ. They're separated from God. Not to be gross, grotesque, or to try to be negative tonight, but your mother without Jesus Christ is going to die and go to a devil's hell. Your brother, your sister, no matter how well, the pastor put it this morning, no matter how good their intentions are, no matter what kind of moral life they live, without Jesus Christ, this world, this creation, full of these people who are living souls, because of separation and disobedience, they are all going to die and go to a devil's hell. The waitress that waits on you tonight, the person that's your teacher in school, your office mates, your workmates, the people in your neighborhood, they're on their way to an eternity without Jesus Christ. And how many of us as believers that ever crosses our minds? I'd venture to say, excuse me if I'm wrong, that the average person who knows Christ has never shed one tear over a lost man or woman that needs Jesus Christ. I'm not sure that we've ever looked at a waitress or somebody in the bank or at our office and they need Christ. Boy, could we have a revival if we ever got the mind of God which is missions and soul winning. He came here, as we read, not to set up a kingdom. That's what the Jews expected. He came here to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we should notice the mind of God as missions in the fact of creation, procreation, then separation. Then, praise the Lord, Mr. Benny Hinn and TBN. I've got something to say, hallelujah, about it. Hallelujah. This next point is worth shouting about. We've noticed the mind of God is missions or soul winning because of creation, procreation, and separation. Man needs a Savior. This wasn't a surprise to God. The pastor said it this morning. This was His eternal plan from the foundations of the world before time ever began. This was the mind of God. Who would ever have a plan that would include seeing your son die on a cross? My, we often talk about this in Bible college and in early Christianity. When you're newly saved, you think, well, why didn't God make man so he couldn't sin? Because He loves us. Without man sinning, we would have never known the love of Jesus Christ. Now we should notice that His mind is soul winning in the incarnation. God became a man, born in Bethlehem's manger. The prophet Isaiah said, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And you should call His name Emmanuel, because God's going to be with us. Oh, did He see a need and then send His son? No, He knew about that need eternally. I don't understand that, but for sure it's true. God never made a decision. God's always been what He is and unchangeable tonight. Thank God for that, or I'd be lost. Because sometimes when I should get 4 as a par, I get 8. And the thoughts that run through my mind, I'd be lost. He'd condemn me to the lake of fire for my bad thoughts. The fact, if I could afford it, I would have several sets of golf clubs, and I have many sets, like a truckload of them, so that every time I get an 8 when it should be 4, I could just throw them in the lake. Disposable. But no, He came, became a man tonight for you, so He could die for man's sins. He died on the cross. The wages of sin is death, and He paid that payment for you and for me tonight. Not only that, they came that third morning, and after the third night, and the angel said, you know, folks, you've come to the wrong place. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. He went to the right hand of God to make intercession for you and I. By tonight, we know his heartbeat, His mind, His mission, soul winning. That's why He came. He knew when He came, He would die. Tonight, we're not asked to die for Christ. We're asked to live for Christ. Some will die, but not many. Some will give their life for Christ. But my, tonight, his son knew when he entered earth, when he opened up his eyes in Bethlehem's manger, he knew on his mind, I'm going to the cross. What a burden that must have been just to wake up God in flesh. Can you imagine? Now, most of us tonight think our flesh is pretty nice. We look in that mirror and go, wow, my wife's a lucky woman. That's those of you who are 35 and below. About 50 or 60, you wear a mask. You wear a hoodie backwards. You don't even want your wife to see you anymore. And see the real you. I just got my wife new glasses, and as soon as she walked out of the office, I had to take a good look. You still love me? Not a pretty sight. But man, the incarnation, God became a man. That was His mind. That's been His eternal mind since before the foundations of the world, that He would provide a sacrifice for the need of mankind around the world. And of course, not only He dying, but in His raising, but His interceding for us. Now He's there at the right hand of God making intercession for you and I. And it's a good thing He is, because our accuser, the devil, is there 24/7 accusing you. But that great intercessor can stand and say, you see these hands, you see this side. I paid for those sins. Forget it, man. Get lost. They're innocent. They're justified. They're sanctified. my, and I'm coming again for those people. So the mind of God is mission. Then not only that, we should see it in the commission. This is where we're almost finished. I'm going to limit my sermon to $700. Is that not humble? And all of God's people said. You see, the mind of God is missions. He took those first Baptist church members, those 12 men, called his disciples, and he brought them down. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all those creatures in this world I created. Those creatures that called man that I created in my image, they're eternal beings. They need a Savior. They separated themselves from God by sin and disobedience. Out there, the world needs Jesus Christ. It doesn't need Donald Trump. It doesn't need Hillary Clinton. It doesn't need any politician. The world needs Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. My hope isn't in those people. In fact, I know that God raises up the leaders and he takes them down, and probably we'll get just what we've deserved because of our atrocities against God and disobedience. The mind of God is missions tonight. If we could leave this building as soul winners, as people who are concerned about every individual we meet. You say, well, if God would give me opportunity, you know what I believe about that? You should make opportunity. If you sit around and wait, my, we don't wait about telling somebody about our son getting a trophy in soccer. We don't wait and tell somebody if he gets a scholarship for sports scholarship. We don't wait, man. We just interrupt them and say, you know, my boy, well, we should talk about my Jesus. Because the mind of God is missions. It should drive us. It should haunt us. It could take over our bodies and our soul. And I have a feeling that even those that don't get saved, the gospel would make the United States of America a better place. We would have stood up a long time ago and stopped abortion. It could have been stopped in a heartbeat. I remember at about 11 years old watching black and white TV one night when the news came on and said that 600 people had signed a petition to get rid of a program on television because it was offensive. Now the average believer watches them and texts their friends and say, who did you vote for tonight? That which we preach against and say it ruins people's lives, we're involved in it. And then to be a great testimony, if you want to really be a testimony, you do the cha-cha on Dancing with the Stars, but you dress appropriately. Amen. That is funny, but it's sickening. I'm not sure God is pleased. I think to be a testimony, we need to open our mouths and proclaim and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the mind of God. And then I'm done. We should notice this in the culmination. One day he's coming. My, what the signs of the time remind me of is he must be coming. It must be soon. Oh my, thank God he's coming for those people that he's going to redeem from all over the parts of the world, from China, from the Philippines, from Spain, from around the world. People are going to be saved because of our witness for Jesus Christ. Behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. My, the culmination of all of this, if we have the mind of God, is one day we're going to be caught up in the air to meet him. We're going to be with him for eternity. And what will be wonderful is if we've lived our life with the mind of God. What will be wonderful that is like the song, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for sending. Thank you for giving to the Lord. My, people from all over the world are going to line up as we see them there. I don't know how this will take place, but I know for sure it'll be true. And they'll be thankful, humanly speaking, that we have the mind of God. Tonight, and I'm almost finished, where would you be tonight if somebody hadn't had the mind of God to tell you about Jesus Christ? We need the mind of God. Politicians will not change this world. That's a hopeless thought. But Jesus Christ can change your neighbor. Maybe your neighbor is not such a great person. Maybe if you had the mind of God and went over there and won them to Christ, things would be different. Maybe those classmates at school are just waiting for you to make a stand for God and get His mind and see them lost. Tonight, boy, what's on your mind? What's on my mind? If we have the mind of God, it for sure will be missions.
Father, thank you for this word from this servant of yours, and thank you for reminding us what your mind is. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, to have your mind when it comes to seeing people as souls for whom Christ died. Seeing people not just on the externals and shallow things that we judge people by, their clothes, their cars, but knowing that there is an eternal soul there. And having that mind, it changes, Father. Help us, it changes our very thinking and thus our actions. Bless now the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.